Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. This morning, we have an awesome show with two awesome guests. Motivate My Life Radio, Real World Issues with Real World Results, where we motivate and stimulate your mind. Today's guest we have best-selling author, international speaker, mental health and youth advocate, Felicia Johnson will be joining us. We also have reality star from BET's The Bottom Up, author of Date Girl, Stacey J. They will be joining us a little later in the show today. Right now, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about some entrepreneur tips. So, tip number one, if you're starting a new business, first thing is to make sure that you do your research on your business. Make sure that you understand the business that you're going into. And more importantly, don't do a business because someone else is doing it. Make sure it's your passion, it's your gift when you're doing that particular business. Secondly, get a mentor. Get a coach. I know sometimes people say they can't afford a coach, but there are a lot of mentors out there. But I will say, before you go out there and get a mentor, be sure that you do your homework. A mentor is not to build your business for you. That is actually your job. So make sure you've done your homework, your research, before you go out there and you get a mentor, that you've actually put in some work. Thirdly, figure out how you're going to structure your business legally. So when I say legally, is it going to be an LLC, an S-Corp, or C-Corp? Now, a lot of individuals reach out to attorneys and get legal advice on things of that nature, and you definitely should get legal advice on that as far as how to structure your business. So those are your three entrepreneur tips for the day. Now, moving forward in the show, I want to talk about also some Motivational Wednesday. Let's talk about that. So I had a client, of course, can't say the name, and she has an issue with people not being supportive. And when she says people, she says friends and family members not being supportive of what she does. So I just want to drop this nugget out there for you people, for you listeners out there. Don't expect your family and friends to support you on your journey. On your journey to success. If you're doing something that you're passionate about and you're achieving your goals, get in a circle with like-minded people. That's key to starting a business. You don't want to waste a lot of time on expectations from other folks that are not supporting you. You will get stuck, and you don't want to do that. You want to keep prospering in your business. Unfortunately, you may be starting a business and you're going to share your ideas and your dreams with some people, family, or friends that don't have an interest. When you are becoming an entrepreneur, you want to start a business, or you got all these ideas, you got this adrenaline rush, and I know you want to go tell your family, you want to go tell your friends, and then you have an expectation of how they're going to receive it. But by no means necessary, let that stop you. You will be amazed when you're building your business and going on your journey of success, how many friends that you will lose along the way. No worries, just stay in the circle of like-minded people. It is key to starting a business. Next tip that I want to give, next nugget that I want to drop out there, is that if you are starting a business or you've started a business and you have no clients yet, I get that a lot. You have a hard time building your client base and you are actually advertising on social media, because social media is a great, awesome platform to do advertisement, but social media sometimes, if you don't know how to advertise on social media, sometimes you're not going to get paying customers. And as I tell people, it's great. It's awesome to get all your likes and your fans. Marketing does get you known, but sales gets you paid. And if you're not turning those likes and those fans into paying customers, then you definitely need to restructure your target market. Everyone on social media does not want what you're selling. Everybody on social media does not want what you're offering. So you cannot get upset because someone you feel that should buy your service or product, they're not buying it or they're not supporting you. Be mindful to reach your target audience. And your target audience could be depending on what you're selling and what you're offering, your target audience can be all stay-at-home moms, just for an example. Your target audience can be executives. So be mindful of your target audience, and it's not going to be everyone that likes your page on social media. So I had a client that came forward, and she told me that she's been advertising on social media for the last, I think, year and a half, and she said she's only had, like, 2 sales. Guys, get with a marketing person. Get with a branding expert, a brand strategist, a marketing strategist, and let them come help you design a marketing plan that will reach your target market. If that is not your level of expertise, do not continuously to waste a lot of time trying to find your target market if you don't know how to go about finding it, because you will be just like this individual. You will wake up and actually 2 years have gone by and you have gotten no sales on social media. Now, if that's your only platform to sell, there are numerous of other platforms that you can utilize to actually get your name out and your product and your product and services out there to the universe. It doesn't necessarily have to be social media. So be mindful of that as well. And we're going to play our theme song. And after that, our guest, Alicia Johnson, will be joining us.
God, take away the fear when they even feel God. Keep God, Yes, she's just a girl and she's on fire. That's one of my theme songs. Because it gets me hyped in the morning, it gets my day started, particularly when I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling groggy. A lot of times people don't like Mondays, and I guess call me crazy. I love Mondays. Mondays are actually one of my favorite days. I think about a midweek, I get a little burnt out at times, and so it could be my favorite day. But, again, hey, I'm here, and we're going to keep moving forward with the show. Joining us shortly, we will have best-selling author, international speaker, Felicia Johnson is a mental health and youth advocate, and she'll be joining us to talk to us a little bit about her movement, her book, and also talk to us about how she became an international speaker and able to stand on stages and motivate others. And then later on in the show, we will be having Stacey J from the reality show, BET's reality show, The Bottom Up, and also author of Date Girl, Why Women Should Date Multiple Men. I can't wait to hear a little bit on that, Stacey, when we get to moving forward on that story. And also, guys, I wanted to talk quickly, too, about why we make excuses. And there is so many of us out there that want to do so many things, but we make excuses, and more so because of fear. And that is normal. But you must take steps to overcome fear. You cannot be successful in anything that you do if you do not overcome fear. It is the number one reason why a lot of people aren't able to move forward, and it's the primary reason why a lot of businesses stay stuck, because a lot of people worry about what other people are going to think, what other people are going to say, or you feel like you don't have the resources to be able to get started. Let me just give you a few tips on getting over fear. Firstly, you must get up and claim what it is that you want to do and claim success in what it is that you want to do. That's key. So when I say claim success, you speak it into existence. You speak life into it. You speak life over it, anything in life that you want to do. So you write down some goals and you hold yourself accountable for achieving those goals. It's going to be key. But secondly, hang around like-minded people. I have to go and reiterate back on that, as I did earlier in the show, hang around like-minded people. You cannot move forward if you're not hanging around like-minded people. It's hard to overcome fear in something that you know that you can be great at, or something that you're destined to be great at, if you're not hanging around the right type of people. So just be mindful that changing your circle, getting into new networking groups. I know meetup.com. And that's meetup.com. They have a lot of different networking groups. Also, if you go to Eventbrite, they have a lot of different events. You can kind of just put in what your area is, and also put in what your area is and put in basically what type of event you may want to attend. You can put in networking, and it'll populate up all of the networking events in that area. So, again, to overcome fear, you have to deal with it and head on. You have to stop making excuses. You have to change your circle, and you have to get up in the morning your business. It's really going to be key for you to speak life over your business and into your business daily when you get up in the morning. So joining us will be best-selling author, international speaker, mental health and youth advocate, Felicia Johnson. Good morning, Felicia. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great for a Wednesday. I appreciate you joining Motivate My Life this morning. We are so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you
and
so much,
Felicia,
for having me.
You're welcome. Now, Felicia, you're based out of where? Where are you located?
Right now I live in Atlanta, but these days I am all over the place, girl.
Well, you know, Felicia, I'm trying to get to Atlanta. Atlanta is actually, yes. I don't know if my husband is going to be okay with that, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, and I came from D.C., so I've been in Charlotte, North Carolina right now for about five years. So I do come to Atlanta a lot. To visit, and I mean, I love Atlanta, and you guys to me have the support system in Atlanta is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
As far as women supporting women-owned businesses.
Exactly.
I think that is phenomenal. Charlotte is not a big entrepreneur city yet. It's still growing, but we do know that Atlanta definitely is. So, Felicia, let's jump kind of right in. I have some talking points that I want to touch on and make sure we don't miss anything. So, you are a best-selling author, and if you can tell us a little bit about your book and what motivated you to write your book.
Well, my book, Her, is based on true life. It's about a girl, a 17-year-old girl, who is having a hard time, basically dealing with her life struggles. She saw something in her youth that traumatized her, and it caused long-term damaging effects to her mental health. And what she saw caused her to, you know, sort of repress, like a lot of children do when they don't really know how to talk about something that has traumatized them. They don't even know what traumatization means. They just know it's very painful. And when they don't talk about it and deal with it, it comes out in other ways. So Kristen finds herself in a deep, dark place and tries to take her own life. She fails, and she's then put in a mental hospital where she meets a doctor and a staff of caring support, like other counselors and nurses. And then she's surrounded by other peers who deal with their own sets of mental health issues. And there she learns about what caused her breakdown, what caused her to want to take her own life. And she's diagnosed with what is called borderline personality disorder. And from there, the story is told in three parts. The first part is her mental breakdown. Part two is her treatment, where she learns about BPD and its effects and what she can do to learn better coping skills. And then part three is actually her recovery. So it is a story of hope, although there is some sad parts to it. It's a story of hope with a message that we are not alone in the things that we go through. But as we, you know, learn what is going on and we take interest in ourselves and our loved ones who are dealing with these mental health issues, then there is a chance that we can all get through it together. And that's basically the whole message of the story.
Okay, and so, Felicia, you too went through some type of abuse as well as a child, and then is that what motivated you to write the book?
Partly. I mean, I've always been an avid journaler since I was a little girl.
Okay.
I got my first journal when I was 6 years old, and I was in my I was in my second grade. Yeah, I was in second grade at 6 years old. And my sixth grade teacher, Ms. Medley, she's like the best teacher I ever had. She gave us our first writing assignment. She said, I want you to just write one paragraph. One paragraph, that's it, about something you want. And that seems like a really simple task for a six-year-old. You ask a six-year-old, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? They have an answer straight away. I want to go to Disney World. I want a new puppy. Well, I wanted a new puppy. But it was a weekend homework assignment, first mistake right there, because I ended up taking all weekend, filling up 100 pages in that little composition notebook about wanting a dog. So my teacher said I wrote my first novel at 6 years old because I wrote a whole book about wanting a dog. That's the imagination of a child. But from there, I always kept journals. And then when the abuse started, I used journaling as a way of coping. And I didn't know what coping was or anything. I just knew that I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I needed to somehow, you know, release that pain and put it down somewhere. And that's what I did. And I'd always kept journals even after the abuse ended. I became friends with a girl named Holly. She and I were both 15 years old. We met in actually a teen survivors support group. And basically she was the one who inspired my story. Her tragic suicide, her death, is what actually made me want to start studying psychology and get to the root of how we can prevent these types of behaviors. Because to this day, the memory of Holly is like poking at a sore for me. Even though I keep talking about it, it's because I want to help other people to not get to that point.
Right. And, I mean, that's an awesome story. And I mean, 6 years old and you have a journal and you're writing in it at six. I probably wasn't even thinking about writing anything at that point. But so You definitely, it was instilled within you by nature. Now, you do a lot of speaking as well. You're an international speaker. And what are some of the topics that you speak on?
Felicia, can you hear me?
Hi, Felicia. Okay, we may have had a technical difficulty. Looks like we may have lost Felicia. We'll just wait for her to give us a call back in. And in the meantime, I will roll us with another song of choice. This is actually, someone actually called in and requested this song. So we'll roll with this, and then we'll be back shortly with Felicia Johnson.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. Got my head spinning, no kidding, I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm your magic potion in the light. And I'm so busy, don't know what hit me, but I
Okay, guys, and we are back with Miss Felicia Johnson. Looks like we just had some lost a little bit of connection there, Felicia, so it's all good.
It happens.
So moving forward. Hey, it does. I mean, you know, it is blog. It's blog talk radio. It's online radio, so it has a mind of its own sometimes. But and then our cell phones definitely have a mind of their own. So that's okay. No worries there. I was asking you before we got disconnected. I know you are an international speaker. So can you tell me some
right.
of the topics that you speak on?
Yes. I started actually out with talking about journaling and how journaling can be used for therapy. It's very therapeutic. It's my best form of therapy, but also that workshop actually evolved into helping other people turn their journals into novels or memoirs even. So I do a lot of speaking about journaling and writing and turning your journals into your own story to share with the world, because let's face it, we all have a story to tell. And even if you don't want to use it for publishing or anything, I find that a lot of people just want to be able to write, to be able to journal and express themselves in other ways, and using art as using writing as a form of art therapy. But also, too, I speak to a lot of mental health groups. I'm a member of the National Alliance of Mental Illness and also the Personality Disorders Awareness Network. So I do a lot of speaking workshops about BPD, suicide prevention, and speaking to a lot of youth, because I was considered one of those troubled kids, you know, who they said probably wouldn't make it to see 18. I try to be the voice to the youth that I wish I had when I was younger, instead of those negative comments when people said, oh, it gets worse when you get older, things like that. No, it does not get worse, because you can choose to live a good life and not use your mental health issues or any other adversities you may be dealing with. I was a homeless teenager once. You know, using those things as an excuse not to succeed. You can choose to succeed. It doesn't depend on other people. It actually depends on you. So that's my whole message, basically, when I'm talking to youth. And that's actually my favorite audience. I love speaking to teens and juveniles, because I was there once. And I like them see
exactly
that I'm living proof, that you can succeed no matter what.
And isn't it great when you can go back and look, you know, at all the people that said you can't, and that's why I tell people that, or you're not going to be.
exactly.
All those naysayers,
exactly.
That's kind of what I call them, naysayers, and you kind of look back at them and you smile because, you know, here you stand, and not
right.
only did you survive all that you went through, but you were able to actually now pour into other people's lives
right.
as well and,
right.
and help other individuals. And I think that is awesome. So, Felicia, what else as far as, I know you have your book, and I know you do international speaking. I know that you are the mental health and youth advocate. And so what else does Felicia Johnson do? Is that your day-to-day operation pretty much of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, or are you into other doing other things as well. And are you now, do you own your own business or are you working with a company right now?
I do. I do own my own business. I am myself a business, but I also work with the SPE, which is So Pure Entertainment, Media Production, and Publishing. And what we're doing is we're getting into now doing more publishing of books, and not just my books, but memoirs and people's stories to help them get their message out there themselves. I feel like the more we find each other and come together, the more we actually bring these issues out, you know, these taboo and stigmatized subjects such as mental health, mental illness. The more we talk about it, the more we could start to destigmatize the issue of mental illness and suicide and just promote more prevention of these issues. If we can, like I said, just talk about it and get people to share their stories, I think it'll make such a huge difference. We shouldn't be silent.
Definitely. Now, you touched on suicide, and I know that the suicide rate has definitely grown over the years, and people don't know what other individuals are going through at all.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, because a lot of times by the time, you know, someone commits suicide, it's basically too late, of course, at that point. But
right.
Are you working with individuals, kind of trying to work with them, preventing them to get to that point, or are individuals coming to you when they're at that point and you're working with them as well?
Yes, I actually do work for a Highlands Institute as well, and our facility, we do speak to people in all stages, you know, and it's taken very seriously, every issue, every threat, and even before it gets to that point. What we want to do is promote prevention. We want to stop it before it gets to that point. So the questions we ask is, how can we help people? How can we help families to see the signs and to notice them, and when they do, talk about it? Because it is not easy to approach. There's no right or wrong way to ask, how are you doing? I think you should just outright ask a person, how are you doing? And it simply just starts with that, showing interest in our friends, our families, and our loved ones. And when somebody says to you, you know, I'm not feeling well today, or I'm feeling depressed, don't say get over it. Don't ask somebody, when are you going to be happy? You know, that's not the right way. The right way is simply to just say, how are you doing? I'm here for you. That goes a long way. Trust me.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, by habit, because we are a creature by habit, a lot of times when someone's telling you that they're having a bad day, or, and you're exactly right, or that some people just come out and tell you they're depressed. And you will say, get over it, and you need to pay attention. So now, is there a way, like, if someone's going through something, like, and they need to talk to someone, like, are you someone that individual will reach out to?
I've had people come to me, yes, and tell me that,
okay,
you know, they feel like they're in a crisis. And what I always encourage them to do is just take a look within themselves. If they feel like they're going to be a harm to themselves or someone else, that it is okay to get professional help. It is okay to call 911 when you are having an emergency. And if you just need someone to talk to, there are suicide prevention hotlines out there. There are so many numbers and organizations that are interested in, no matter what country you're in, because I know the numbers vary everywhere, but the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, Lifeline, they are the most famous, and everybody, you know, pretty much knows who they are. I say, you know, you should utilize these tools that are out there to help you. And if it's just a matter of just needing a friend to talk to, surely there are people out there who would prefer you talk to them and cry on their shoulder rather than you be alone and hurt yourself. Sometimes people just need to be reminded of that, you know.
So basically, for the listeners out there, because it very well right now can be a listener on the call that might be very well going through something. So if you are a listener on the call and you are dealing with depression, or you feel like that, you know, you want to take your life, you definitely want to. You said that's a suicide hotline that they can actually call as well.
Yeah, the
correct,
National
Felicia.
Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Yeah, it's called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and you can Google them. They have several numbers. They're also on Twitter, just National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, you know, and they're everywhere. I think they're one of the best organizations because they're everywhere, and they make themselves available.
So it doesn't matter what state or city you're in, and basically you can reach out to
correct.
Them. So, again, listeners, if you're out there and you are going through depression or you do feel like you want to take your life, again, it's the National Suicide Hotline, and you can also Google that number for whatever city that you're in. So, basically, they'll just put in their city and state and Google the National Suicide Hotline, and then they have, I'm sure, a lot of programs and things of that nature as well that will be able to help that individual.
For support, there's also National Alliance on Mental Illness. They're called NAMI. I'm actually a member of NAMI myself, and I advocate for them because they have lots of programs for families, not just consumers, people who have mental illness. They reach out to family as well. I think that's such a huge deal that there is an organization out there that will help the whole circle, you know, because we need that support. We need our families to be there to understand as well as our friends. So I think NAMI is a great place to go to for support groups and things like that.
Now, what are some of the signs, Felicia, that you can see in individuals that you may know that they're depressed? Like, someone may not come out and just say, "I'm depressed." Are there signs to look for in individuals to see if
Absolutely.
Okay.
They say that depression is invisible. Mostly people say that because you don't see scars or you don't see bruises like you do with, like, domestic violence, where if somebody's being beaten. But depression has its own signs as well. When your friends are pulling away from you, or you see that they're losing interest in the things that you know they love to do, and when they start talking about hurting themselves. Sometimes, you know, people can say it jokingly, but if that joke seems to go a little too far, you know, or they're talking about it a lot, you need to listen. Don't joke. That's not something to joke about. You know, that's one of the biggest signs. The use of drugs, when they start drinking alcohol excessively, that's another big sign. And sometimes people just think, she's just feeling sad today. You know, she'll get over it tomorrow. That's a big no-no. Mm. That get over it, that really grinds on my nerves when I hear that. Because I was told that a lot growing up. Get over it. Get over it. You know, or even being asked, "You're just a kid. What do you have to be depressed about?" Really?
And believe it or not, you know, there are actually kids out here too that want to take their lives. So, you know, you have to really take that seriously.
Exactly.
Depression doesn't have an age on it, so you definitely have to take that seriously. Yeah, so, Felicia, what I want to do is to also, so your social media handles, I want to let the listeners know how they can reach out to you, how they can follow you and things of that nature. So if you don't mind sharing with us your social media handles, and also if you have a website.
Sure, yes. My Twitter is Felicia L. Johnson. That's FelicialJohnson. And I'm on Facebook. It's facebook.com/FeliciaJohnson. And also my website is FeliciaJohnsonAuthor.com.
And that's your FeliciaJohnsonAuthor.com. And you can find more information about Felicia there on her website and also on her social media handles. Well, Felicia, I want to thank you again for joining us this morning, and we're going to wrap up. And do you have any questions, any last-minute nuggets you may want to drop out there to individuals before we wrap up the call?
Sure, absolutely. I always say this at the end of any speech or radio show that I do, is that if you need to talk to somebody, if you need help, reach out and do it, because there are people out there who care about you. I don't even know you, and I care about you. And I would rather you talk about it and reach out for help than hurt yourself and be alone, because you are not alone.
And again, guys, and if you're out there listening and you're going through something, and don't try to handle it on your own. Well, Felicia, again, I want to thank you for joining Motivate My Life Radio.
You.
It has been a pleasure. And
thank you so
much. Have a good rest of the day down there in Atlanta, where I'm trying to get to.
Well, hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yeah, it'll probably be to visit. It probably won't be to live. I promise you that. My husband is from here. He's not going anywhere, so it'll be to visit. All right, well, you have a good day, and thank you again for joining
Take
us.
Take care.
Guys,
thank
everybody,
you.
Felicia Johnson, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Good stuff, guys. Talking about suicide, I think that is a really big subject. And I think a lot of people don't take it seriously, as Felicia just mentioned. So I think if someone does tell you that they're depressed or they're going through something, or you see difference in their behavior, because people do change when they're going through things, as far as, like she said, drinking, alcohol, and a lot of times there's silent depression too. And I actually meant to touch on that with her as well, but there is some silent depression as well, where individuals actually, you see them and you can't tell that there's anything wrong with them at all. There have been cases where people have taken their lives and you had no clue that they were depressed, because a lot of people sometimes they don't want to talk about it. Okay, so we're going to go to a commercial break, and when we get back, we will be joined by reality star actress Stacey J from BET's The Bottom Up.
Even when I lose my friend, could I give you all of me? If you give me all of you, all of you, I don't mind.
John Legend, All of Me. So welcome back to Motivate My Life Radio. I have a few more tips before we join with Miss Stacey J. So I want to talk about one more thing as far as you guys getting your business started. There is a community called The Score, and you can reach out to The Score, score.org, and they do offer complimentary pro bono business services for aspiring entrepreneurs. All you have to do is just Google them for what city and state you're in and reach out to them, and they're a big advocate for new entrepreneurs. Now joining us live, actress, author, BET from the Bottom Up, reality star, Miss Stacey J. How are you, Stacey?
Hi, honey. Teresa, how are you?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now,
absolutely.
Stacey, where are you?
Can y'all see me on TV? I love to talk, so let's talk. Okay.
And I got an opinion for you, so hey, you're going to get all of She So Extra this morning, honey. I don't even know if you're ready.
Well, there you go, guys. Miss Stacy J, real world issues with real world results, and motivating and stimulating your mind. Thank you again for joining us, Stacy. It's so awesome to meet you. We definitely have a lot of talking points, so I am just ecstatic that you love to talk. So do I, actually. But today is going to be your show, so we'll just hop right in. Now, Stacy, you're in Atlanta, correct?
Well, I'm between – I live in Atlanta, yeah. But I'm doing a lot of traveling because I'm on the road with my book. So I'm in the D.C. area now. I've been spending a lot of time up here because it allows me to get to New York a lot quicker. I feel a little gridlocked in Atlanta, you know, sometimes when I'm there, especially when I'm on the road. Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel gridlocked in New York?
Well, no, because, again, when I go from D.C. to New York, I can hop a train and have a meeting in New York and be right back in D.C. in the evening. Then I can get over to Philly if I have a book signing. Then I can get to Virginia. So in Atlanta, I love our airport. We do have the busiest airport in the world. So happy to be a part of that city. But when I'm building a business, and especially with a book, it's easier for me to be able to get to New York, where a lot of the advertisers are and the magazines, and to do these, I like doing face-to-face interviews. So it's just been amazing approaching the business from that standpoint instead of having to go on an airplane and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm from the D.C. area. Actually, now I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina now, but I actually moved from D.C. about 5 years ago. So I love the DMV. And speaking of your book, I can't wait till we get to that topic. 143 reasons why I believe women should date multiple men. I said, well, you know, I can't wait to talk to Miss Stacy J. I need to show it. I didn't know it was that many reasons, but I'm sure.
Girl, it was 178, but I put it down to 143 because, you know, I felt like that was a little too aggressive. And,
I said that. I mean, I got all excited. My husband side-eyed me. I was like, wow, I get to interview Stacy J tomorrow. She wrote this book, Date Girl, you know, 143 reasons why women should date multiple men. I thought it was awesome. So talking points, we're going to talk a little bit about right now, like your past. I mean, you've done so much. So I guess we can start on your acting career and some of the, because you worked with a lot of well-known actors and actresses in the industry. And if you can just tell us, who are some of the people that you work with?
Oh, wow. I did a movie years ago. A lot of people remember. It's called A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. And I played I was in that film. Martin Lawrence, Lynn Whitfield, Regina King, Bobby Brown, Daryl Chill Mitchell, a lot of people were in that. God, Wendy Raquel Robinson, Tangi Ambrose. I mean, there are a lot of people that were in that movie, and I played Regina's cousin, Peaches, in that. And which a lot of people say she's the nosy cousin, but I just feel like you take care of people, so that's what it is. You know, either you right or wrong, Martin, and you was wrong in that movie, so your people go come, you know, your girls are going to take care of you. So then I did a movie called How to Be a Player, and then Bill Bellamy was in that. Myself, I played one of the girlfriends. Late Bernie Mac was in that film, and a lot of other people as well. And then I played Sherry in that film, which is she was the dominatrix. She was the one with the chair, and she would say, you know, now when I go to her house, Bill said, I need y'all somebody come knock on the door. Yeah.
Oh,
she was very aggressive. Fresh Prince. Go ahead.
Wow. I was going to tell you, A Thin Line Between Love and Hate is one of my favorite movies. Now I'm going to go back and look because I'm like, okay. Well, that is one of my favorite movies. It was crazy, but it was definitely one of my favorites. So, and you worked, you were going to say you worked, did you say Fresh Prince, Stacey?
Yeah, no, I did. I lived in L.A. for a while after I graduated from Spelman. Mm. So, you know, I was fortunate to, as I tell people, you know, they say these stories where you get off the bus or the plane in L.A. and you have these dreams. And I was one of the people that had the dream and was able to make the dream a reality because I've done shows, ER, Fresh Prince, Martin, Jamie Foxx. Back in the day, I was doing TV before there was 200 and some odd or 500 and some odd television stations. There was like five stations where, you know, as an actor, you could get the major five and you could get work from. And we didn't have all this, a bunch of, I think we had cable, but it's not as crazy as it is now. Oh, Lord, I'm aging myself. But I am 45 and I'm very happy. So, child, I'm nobody's spring chicken. So, anyway, So yeah, so
I did those 45 is the new 25.
Hey, I don't know. Hold on, Teresa. I don't know if I'll take 25, girl. Maybe the energy of a 25-year-old, but the foolishness, no, I don't think I. My foolishness at 25 was 2 on 10 trillion. So I'll take 45 for me can be the energy of a 25-year-old, but I would take the intellect and wisdom of when I started to approach my mid-30s. I don't want to go back no further than that because she was still a little foolish back then. So, but and that's just for me, ladies. I'm not saying everybody's foolish at 25. I'm just saying I talk what's real for me. I give my opinion about myself and everybody else, okay? So my opinion of myself
totally.
Is I was foolish at 25, and I don't need no none of that foolishness in my life right now. How about that?
And it's great. I mean, you learn and you grow and you keep prospering, and at the end of the day, you know, you've done some great things. So, yeah, we're going to leave that past where it is. Now, Stacey, to show from the bottom up, you were actually a reality star in the BET's Centric show from the bottom up. So how did you land that role?
Well, I was, I'm friends with Nikki Gilbert. Nikki and I met in L.A. Nikki was lead singer of this group, Brownstone, and then she created two shows called R&B Divas, L.A. and Atlanta. And Nikki, about 3 years ago, said, Stacey, you know, I think you would be great for reality. And for me, reality has to be done from a standpoint because when I am on camera, although it... people would think that it would be easy for me because I've been an actress for so long. I know that reality from where I stand, it would have to be 100% me, whether I'm liked or not liked or whether it just is what it is. So I knew that with me doing reality would have to be with somebody I knew. And I trust Nikki Gilbert. And, you know, that's how it kind of ended up. And I can tell you the show changed. Like it was initially called, I think she went through three other titles. And the cast that we have now, they weren't even in the prior cast. I mean, I've been on this journey with her for like the last 3 years. And I'm the only remaining original person from when she first started doing this whole journey into reality after R&B Divas with this particular idea. And, you know, I experienced some highs, very high highs, and then one of the lowest lows was, you know, what I talk about on the show, which is when I was arrested August 23rd, 2012, and I was given 7 tickets. And, you know, I immediately went from being, you know, Atlanta's, you know, I had the black book of Atlanta because I sat at the right hand of the current mayor of Atlanta, Kasim Reed. And I was his entertainment and special events director and was spearheaded the whole film office that they have now and the legislation and all of that and being a top advisor in entertainment to him and top political bundler is what I was called for the president and then Hillary Clinton back in 2007 been a surrogate for her, started a group called Young Professionals in Atlanta for Hillary. So I instantly went from, you know, in politics, no matter what it is, it all has to be look good on the outside.
Yes,
and
it does.
I just didn't, regardless as to if those charges were rightfully given or wrongfully given, it just didn't fit anymore in politics. And I would say, you know, everybody has levels, you know what I'm saying? So for me, and because I was not the you know, politicians are sometimes forgiven, but their staff kind of have to appear perfect. And, you know, I didn't follow the mold anymore. So my black book instantly went to zero. I mean, I had it, I still have it, but you know, it was a wake up call for me. And I, you know, went through some very dark places where I didn't even want to live again. Cause I can be honest and say that I was my black book. It had gone from me realizing, me knowing my power to my power being in my black book. And anytime you're looking at something externally and you get your power externally, then therein is the beginning of the demise of, because you stop believing in yourself. And I stopped believing in myself and who I was and whose I was and my power.
And Nikki said, oh, wow, that's great. So why don't you come talk about this on television? I'm like, oh, Lord. Ooh,
that's what I was going to ask you. How did you feel about basically letting the world know that what you went through and what happened to you? Did you at that point feel more relieved, or did you feel like people were still at that point judging you because they knew the story?
Well, people are always judging me. People judge me every day. So I'm not, I'm a lot stronger now than I was, because I didn't really live good in judgment. Like, I didn't like that. But now I don't care, because I look at it as being people's opinion. Mm-hmm. And I like to honor people's opinions, even the bad ones of me. I don't really, you know, I'm never going to say, oh, no, I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not that chick. I'm going to be like, oh, okay, well, if that's what you feel, all right, then. I'm just not going to be like a lot of people on the show call me judgmental, because I said to Kimberly Smedley, one of the cast members, I didn't feel like she was was remorseful for anything outside of going to jail and her family and her daughter, which were great things to be remorseful for. But I said I didn't see any remorse for the women over the last 15 years. They could be at home sick right now. And I received a lot of pushback from that.
But I was going to ask you, did you ladies know each other? Like, did you know the cast?
Well, I knew of people's stories, and I knew what Nikki was looking for. So I knew that. And I also know that when you go through certain things in life, you do need a group of women who have been through similar things. And it was just for that. But we really got to know each other on camera. We really didn't know each other. Outside of Christine Beattie, who is still a friend of mine, you know, we didn't know each other. And we knew of each other's stories.
Now, reality TV, because, you know, right now they're like, tons of reality TV shows. Now you can't even turn the TV on without seeing one. In reality TV, is it really difficult being in reality TV, kind of exploiting what's going on in your personal lives, and you got the cameras following you around? I mean, are they following you around 24/7? And, you know, so what is that life like, being in the limelight consistently on reality TV? Like, how did you feel?
I can tell you, for me, it's kind of shocking, because you do forget the cameras are there, because you really, if you're listening, you know, you really get into the conversation. So for me, it's weird, because I thought I would be more aware of the cameras being there, and I wasn't, which for some people, then they would say, oh, I was playing up for the camera. But for the people that know me, would know, no, she's not playing up for the camera. That's Stacey. And I know it's hard to believe that a person can probably live their life like me. But, you know, it was all me. I can't take one thing back. Like they said in a questionnaire they gave us, we were at an event with the cast, and they said, would you take one thing back? No, it was me. Like, I can't, I don't live in a room of regret. Like, if I said it, I meant it at that moment. Now, I might mean something else right now, but I'm going to honor my feelings, and I'm not going to be apologetic about it.
Right. Well, I mean, the bottom up, actually, the show is still on, and you said that there's only one. Now, you said that of the cast that you were with, there's only one cast left, like the original cast member left, correct? Okay, so we're going to talk next about the Single Girls Club, because you are the founder of the Single Girls Club. And if you can talk to us a little bit about your movement for the Single Girls Club, and what exactly is the Single Girls Club? Okay, looks like go to commercial break, and we'll be right back with BET's From the Bottom Up, author of Date Girls, Stacey J.
You would never leave me. She would torture me. I need to come with her. I lose my confidence. I want to come with her. There's nothing wrong with her. Be on the balcony. I need a joke. In the ghost, but the queen is done with her. I'm trying to be shit. I want to see her. I'm out of agony because I win the gold light.
Okay, and we're back on the line, joined by BET from the bottom up, author of Date Girl, Miss Stacey J. Stacey, are you there?
Well, while we're waiting for Stacey to rejoin us again, I will move forward on another entrepreneur tip for my aspiring entrepreneurs out there who need some guidance. If you don't have a business coach, they are definitely a huge investment when you're starting a business. I know a lot of you say that you cannot afford a business coach because they can get costly. But there are some business coaches out there that are affordable, and some of them actually do pro bono as well. So if you are starting a business and you just don't have any direction on where you want to go, make sure you reach out and connect with a business coach or a mentor. It will be a key to your success in starting your business. Now, back joining us on the line is Miss Stacey J.
Hey!
It happened, so we're going to keep moving forward because we wanted to get into this Single Girls Club. You are the founder of the Single Girls Club. Tell us, Stacey, what is a Single Girls Club?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the Single Girls Club, first of all, was started out of me. I realized that, well, I did some research. 40% of the women in the United States are single. 60% of those have never been married. So when I was in radio, on the radio at V103, yay, CBS, in Atlanta, I wanted to reach out to a demographic that I could relate to, and that was single women. I'm one of the 60%. I've never been married, and I wanted to really have some conversations with like-minded women like myself. And what I did was I said, how can I do that? How can I, find this village of women? And I said, well, I want to start a single girls club. And everyone always asked me, is there a membership fee? Girl, no, child, there ain't no membership fee. You don't have to pay nothing. Only thing it is, you can't be married. Okay? And it's as simple as that. And, because it's not a come up for some money, or it's just I wanted to network with women who are like me, planning my life from a financial standpoint and financial planning. That's different for a single woman than a married woman. So I wanted to not just learn from myself. I wanted other single women to learn as well, because that's different planning. Even, you have to plan from where you are right now, how we're going to take care of ourselves, the life, the healthy living, healthy eating, how we shop, where we go out. Those are things that I have wonderful married girlfriends, but it's different. So we do a conference every year. Actually, I did the first conference. It was February 28, 2015, and you saw that on the show if you watched. And it was a big fail from the standpoint of, I think they said 33 people showed up in a room of 150. And the reason why, honestly, TV doesn't say this, is because I only planned it for 2 months, because it was initially supposed to be in October, but the show said they wanted to tape it. So I moved it 6 months up. But of course, TV doesn't want to feel like this. But I moved it 6 months up. And then, of course, I didn't give myself the marketing time that I needed. But needless to say, for me, lives were changed from it, because I still, last week, 2 weeks ago almost, we celebrated the first year. It was February 28th, and it had been a year. And one of the ladies that spoke reminded me of that, and all of these testimonials from the conference start coming in, and I posted them on my Instagram. And what I learned from that is, you really have to, even when the television says one thing, meaning in this reality show, and it was 33 people, I have to then, it all goes back to empowering yourself. I had to empower myself to remember what I was doing that for. And although 33 women were there, and I would have loved to have had 150, but guess what?
Of course.
I've read so many wonderful testimonials about how women's lives were changed from attending that conference, that it doesn't matter if 33 women attended or not.
Exactly.
Because I know my goal is to connect, empower, inspire single women to live, love, laugh, and enjoy their single life to the fullest. And I have testimonials from women that said exactly that. So regardless as to what TV says, it was a success.
Right.
And I look forward to doing it again in 2017, but I'm going to do it right, because last time I spent $10,000 of my own money.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I didn't get sponsors or anything because, again, I'm about empowering myself. If nobody believed in me, okay, I'll put my $10,000 where my mouth is, you know. I'll put my money where my mouth is. And the sponsors just didn't come because, remember, I was supposed to do it in October. And, again, I did it 6 months earlier. Needless to say, this time, girl, I'm going to wait on my sponsors, okay? So if there are any sponsors listening, let me know because it is a wonderful. And what's great about it is, Teresa, I did document it. It's all on my YouTube page. And people can see that it was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm.
Well, no worries because if we do have some sponsors on the line, Stacey, we definitely want to share your social media handles and so forth when we wrap up the show. Now, to all the single ladies out there, you're welcome. To all the single ladies out there, how would they join the Single Girls Club? Like, where do you go to join the Single Girls Club?
Absolutely. You go to my website, STACIIJAE Johnson, JOHNSON.com. And then on the Single Girls page, there's something I think it's a link that says click if you want more information or click if you want to join or join Stacey J's mailing list. It's something like that. But you just click that, and then you'll get an email from my team. Mm-hmm. And you'll basically,
it's
event-driven. Say that again?
Okay. It's free to join, correct?
Absolutely, it's free. I don't really want, I mean, the events won't be free. So we usually do a Single Girls Who Brunch. We do a conference. We do Single Girls Night Out. And these are events that what happens is, now that I'm from the TV show, I'm more national than just in Atlanta. I see where online there's a big group of women. So I have a really huge following, of course, in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. I'm from Memphis. So I'll be in Memphis doing a Single Girls Who Brunch event because I'll see, oh, wow, I have a big group of women in Memphis who are part of my Single Girls Club. So what dictates me coming to your city is the number of women in that city who are part of the club. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely. So I think it's a great movement. It rules me out, Stacey, because I'm married, so I guess I won't be joining the Single Girls Club. But ladies out there, you single ladies out there, it sounds like a great movement. So, again, go to Stacey's website if you're interested in joining the Single Girls Club because it looks like you're doing a lot of great and strong activity as far as the movement is concerned with the Single Girls Club. And I think a lot of women need that. A lot of single women need that.
Yeah, because a lot of times as single women, we think we're in it by ourselves when really it's like I used to do this thing called Single Girls Talk, and we would invite a male celebrity to be on the phone because I always figure, you know, guys you're dating are only going to answer the questions because you're dating them, and guys who you're not dating, they'll tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? They'll really give you what they would tell their sister. And it would go really well, and what the women would say is that, wow, listening to other single women talk, I feel that I'm not in it alone. My thoughts are valid. What I'm going through is valid. And now let's move towards a solution. You see what I'm saying? Because remember, I always say I'm the fullness of who I am, but I have to realize who I am to even want to make a change or not.
Exactly.
So,
I totally agree.
Yeah,
well, I think it's a
great really,
movement.
Really cool. Thank you.
And it sounds like it's fun as well, actually.
The
Stacey,
subscriber
so really
you
does,
have dialed
so
is not in service. If you feel you've received this message in error, please hang up and try your call again later. Message CA26256.
Crown me queen.
I'm listening.
You did Empowerment Tour, HBCU Empowerment Tour, Crown Me Queen. And
yeah,
can you
we're
talk a little bit about
starting to,
What is Crown Me Queen? That's what we want to know out there.
Crown Me Queen is an event where I go into an HBCU and I always, the queen of the school is the co-host of the event with me. And we do it's not a sleepover, but we call it a sleepover because we want the girls to come in and relax and close. And what we do is we talk about dating, love, relationships, life, and really the challenges of being a young, progressive college student, female college student, and everything that it entails. And then we also do a vision board. And it's my way of honestly, you know, making sure I stay connected to women in HBCUs, I graduated from Spelman College, so I love all HBCUs.
Oh, awesome.
I'm an HBCU baby. And it's a way
awesome.
That I make sure that just like Nicki Minaj can tell you one thing, which I listen to Nicki Minaj, but I give girls another thought. I feel like that is my responsibility to, I'm never going to be one to judge a person from the standpoint of, I'm going to give my opinion, but I want to at least give them all of the information so that they can make the decision they need to make. You see what I'm saying in life? And I
totally
think that Nicki
understand.
Minaj's opinion, Nicki Minaj's voice is important as well as my voice is important. So it's my way of going into HBCUs and talking to the girls.
I think it's catering to different audiences too, far as, maybe your voice and, of course, Nicki Minaj's voice. It's not the same audience, so... Definitely good stuff. Now, we want to get to the juicy stuff, Stacey. So we want to get to this book, Date Girls, 143 Reasons Why I Believe Women Should Date Multiple Men. And I know there are listeners on this call and on this show, and they definitely want to hear the inspiration behind this book, Date Girl. So tell us a little bit about Date Girl.
I can tell you, I was a serial monogamist for all of my dating life. Up until I was 40 years old, I was raised, to believe that, good girls date one guy at a time. And I have, through my life experiences, changed that belief, and smart girls date multiple guys at a time. And the reason I say that, again, and that's why I put the I believe in there, because I never want to feel like my belief is everybody's belief. My experiences
right.
are genuine to my life. So for me, I would meet a guy, Teresa. We go out on 5 to 6 dates, girl. All right, I like him. He my boyfriend. Okay. and we would date, and I would not pick up the phone for anybody else because, for me, I was not being loyal because I like this guy. And we would date, and for me, because I am a serial monogamist, I was, then we would date. My relationships may at least a year and a half, no less than 8 months. Now, then that wouldn't work. And then guess what? I meet another guy. And we go out on 5 to 6 dates. I'd be like, yep, I like you too. I'm going to date you. I would not pick up the phone. Nobody else could call me. If I met them and they said, hey, baby, how you doing? What's your name? Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'd be like, Stacey, but I'm dating. I'm seeing someone. And then that would go on for 2 years. You get the point? And then I'd meet somebody else. We'd go out for
hours definitely get
times,
the point.
And I'd be like, I like you too. And then we'd
date. So let me get this straight.
For
so
2 years.
You didn't really date. Okay, so you weren't dating a lot of different ones at the same time. When you did date them, they just for a short period of time. Is that it?
Well, no. Well, if you say a year or 2 years is a short period of time, no, I would, when I was a serial monogamist, not now, I would go into long relationships. But the key is I would be in them after 5 or 6 dates. You see what I'm saying? And then I would end up in a relationship. So the premise of the book is single women give their most precious gift, monogamy, to men who have yet to show themselves deserving. I would go out on dates before he would even show himself deserving. I would give him my monogamy on a silver platter. You see what I'm saying? Give him something that was so precious. It should have been so precious to me, so valuable to me. I would just give it over. It's like I would go out on 5 or 6 dates. It's like would you give somebody the deed to your house? After you go out to them, because the deed to your house is important to you, and men aren't going to say, I don't want your monogamy. No matter if they were dating other people or not, men are going to just let you give them your monogamy because
I will definitely let you give it away.
Exactly. So after doing that till I was 40, I was like, what in the world? Like, I'm doing something wrong. I can't keep blaming this. Or, the lack of men or all these other things that we make ourselves as single women believe, it's something else. And what I realized was I was giving myself to men before it was deserving. And because I was raised that good girls date one guy, no one said that they needed to do anything to deserve me.
to deserve that monogamy.
Right.
You know, outside of the stuff that,
yes.
you know, you're not supposed to let a man hit you, you can't let him curse you out, you know, all of those things. He didn't do any
yeah.
of that. It's, to me, he was deserving of it. No, he wasn't. You know?
Yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't.
Well, yeah. Can you give us, like, three reasons why women should date multiple men? We want to know three of your reasons out of your 143.
Let's see here. Well, one of them I just gave you is basically a man has to be deserving. 101, you will stop giving your gift of monogamy away. That's one. That's the reason I just gave you, because monogamy is supposed
okay.
to be a gift. You know, it's not supposed
mm-hmm.
to be something that you give away just because of what you feel or out of convenience and circumstance. When we wouldn't give or invite somebody to move in with us, give them the name on the deed and the house in 5 or 6 dates, because that's what you're doing. You're the house. You know, you're the temple.
Exactly.
You're the house. You're giving your temple away, you know, and everything that it entails without someone deserving it, someone doing the work
totally.
To deserve you. So that was, that's actually reason 101. And let's see here. There's another reason you'll learn to only give loyalty when it's deserved. That's another thing about just being your loyalty. You know, being
totally
loyal
agree.
To a person should be something that is reciprocal. And why, while you're just getting to know someone, are we giving our loyalty to them without it being deserved? That, I mean, that's your loyalty.
Wow.
That should not be something we just, okay, I like you, you like me.
No.
All right, well, shut. No, you, a person should
yeah.
deserve those things. That was part
and,
of the 105.
And
yeah, there's more. There's let's see what this one is. There's also a part of me that I feel, you know, you can stop lying. Oh, this is really good. You can stop lying to yourself that the guy you put up with for the last 2 years is the one. Because I found myself in these relationships, and I would stay with them because of the time I put in, and I would continue to give them my monogamy, and I continue to give them my loyalty because of the time rather than the individual. Is this person right for me? Am I right for them? I remember a lot of times there was a particular guy I would date, he would always complain about certain things. And I would start thinking, girl, well, maybe these things are wrong with me. And I'd be trying to change him and all of that. When I started dating multiple guys, the same stuff that he was complaining about, girl, the other guy liked. But I wouldn't have known that. You see what I'm
yeah.
saying? Because I would have just trying to continue to try to make something mesh with this other guy that just didn't work. And I would stay with
right.
him because of time. I put in a year. And then after a year, I put in another year. And then I call my, you know, girlfriend, and she'd be like, girl, he ain't that bad. So then I put in 3 years. And then I'd
wow.
be like, shucks, I done put in 3 years. I'm not leaving. When really you should have left
yeah,
the first
think,
year after.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
When people truly show you who they are, Stacey, not to interrupt you, but when people really show you who they are, because a lot of times we put blinders on as women. So when people
exactly.
really show you who they are, for some reason we want to stay, and we're gonna change him, and we're going to make him into this person we want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it
mm-hmm.
and then when it doesn't happen, you do wake up and you realize 3 years have gone by, and then you feel obligated because you invested time to stay in this relationship, which is not really the case, but that's what a lot of women do. They stay regardless of whether it works or not. So
exactly.
I totally agree
and
with
I did
you
that.
On that.
I have to say, Teresa,
yeah.
I did that. Yeah. I did that. You'll stop picking men out of fear. You know, I picked a lot of men out of the fear of being alone, you know. And then
my confidence
increased. My confidence increased because I started walking around with the energy of multiple rather than the energy of I needed one. I would walk around with the energy of I was open and available, you know. And you're not. And let me say this. People think that when I'm talking about dating multiple men that I'm talking about intimacy, sharing with multiple men. Remember, the premise is deserving. You're not just if he's not deserving, meaning you're not supposed to be deserving until you decide to date one guy. So I'm not saying sleep with anybody. In the book, I say several times, I'm actually talking about no intimacy, you know, simply because you want the person to be deserving. And what will start to happen is one person will start to stick out
more than the other ones. And let me say this, ladies, you don't stop dating multiple just because he starts taking actions to step out. You still continue to let him show who he is to you.
Mm.
And then you stop when your spirit says, okay, I'm ready to show my attention to this man because he's deserving. He's dependable. He's inspiring.
Right.
He's complimentary. He enhances my life. And he's secure with himself, because you'll find yourself saying, now I want to only date this guy. And then you date that one.
Well, how do we get your book? Like, where do we find your book at, Stacey?
Yeah, oh, my God, Barnes & Noble, Amazon,
okay.
Or, of course, I love it when people go to my website, and then you can purchase it there. Yeah, my website is, yes, ladies, when I make more money than when you go to Barnes & Noble, so please try to go to my website. Okay, Stacey, StaceyJaeJohnson.com. Mm-hmm. But you can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Kindle, too, yeah.
So it's StaceyJJohnson.com is your website for you to obtain her book, Date Girl. Get out there, ladies, and get that book. Sounds like a great read. Actually, I'm going to order me one today, Stacey, because it sounds like an awesome read. Also, can you share, before we wrap the show up, can you share your social media handles? And we have your website address, of course, but can you let us know what your social media handles are?
Yep, it's Stacey at StaceyJae on Twitter and Instagram. Again, at StaceyJae. And then on Facebook, it's my full name, StaceyJae Johnson.
And speaking
and
of
I'm
your
on Periscope,
Stacey,
too. It's Stacey J, too. Huh?
Speaking of your name, I wanted to say something about that. I really like the uniqueness of how Stacey is actually spelled. So I think I've never seen Stacey spelled like that, so I kind of like that. I like different things anyways, but that S-T-A-C-I-I, I think it's awesome. So, because, you know, Stacey normally, you know, it has a C-E-Y on it or whatever, or it has a C-Y on it. So I wanted to share that with you, that I definitely like the spelling of your name. Well, we're going to wrap up the show, Stacey. Oh, my goodness. I just want to say thank you. I think you are an inspiration to women. You have a lot of positive things going on that are continuously motivating women. And, guys, listeners out there, make sure you get out there and follow Stacey. Get her new book, Date Girl, 143 Reasons Why Women Should Date Multiple Men. And go sign up for that Single Girls Club if you are single. That is one of the criteria, ladies. You have to be single to sign up for the Single Girls Club. But you're doing a lot of awesome stuff out there. Stacey, it was a pleasure interviewing with you today. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I hope to have you again really, really soon. And you have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Or you're in New York? You're in D.C. or New York?
No, I'm in D.C. now. Yeah, I'm in D.C. right now.
Okay, you're in D.C. now. Okay. Well, you have a great week up there in the DMV. And thanks again.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, sure.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, that was Miss Stacey J from BET's From the Bottom Up, Reality Stars, author of Date Girl, 143 Reasons Why Women Should Date Multiple Men, and the founder of the Single Girls Club. So a lot of great stuff that Stacey has going on, and she also shared her social media handles. And her website, again, is StaceyJJohnson.com. I want to thank all of you listeners out there for joining in on the show today, and you have a great rest of the day on purpose.